day it is, right? Isn't it great to be loved by God? Anybody loved by God today? You know, I've been reading that scripture. If you know him, you are loved by him. How awesome is that? And I love God. Anybody else love God in here today? How awesome it is as we sing these songs, where a lot of these praise and worship songs that we sang this morning is actually about our identity. And how awesome it is to really think about our identity. Because we have a version of our identity, right? We have a version that we may see in the mirror or we may reflect on from the past, but we have an identity that we think, well, I'm just this sort of person, or I'm this sort of creature or whatever, but God has an identity for us too. And I liked these songs that we did today about identity, because when we talk about spiritual potential, we're actually talking about your identity as well, right? Right. So let's get right into this. I want to just recap a little bit for us from last week. Three major things that we talked about last week is our spiritual potential and how it can be diminished by filters, known or unknown, that we place on our lives or on our prayers. And we talked about how we can realize that we have these filters and remove these filters through our quality time with God. Now, just to give you an example, if you didn't get to listen to last week's sermon, I'll go a little bit deeper into this in a way. But the one of the filters that I hear most in my line of work is people filter themselves with their past. In other words, I have a dodgy past. I doubt if God can use me in this way. Or, you know, God, surely you can probably find someone with a cleaner record than I have. don't look innocent to me. Don't even attempt it. I can't look innocent, right? You know how many times in my life I've thought, oh, goodness sakes, God, you don't want me to be a pastor. You know what I used to do. You know where I've been. You know the type of person I was. God says, ah, that's okay, you're a new creature now, right? Amen? I'm so thankful for that. But we use that as a filter. God, you can use me however you want, but, you know, there's certain things I can't do because of my sketchy past. I have dirt in my past, and so you have to work with me through the filters that I place in my life. Sometimes I don't even realize I have put those filters there. And we talked about David and how other people actually placed filters on David, and he overcome that when David slew Goliath. I'll give you some other examples. Abraham was too old. I know, right? He was creaking around. That's what his bones sounded like when he tried to walk. It sounded just like that. Jacob was a liar. Jacob became a pretty important individual in the Israelite family, right? In the history of Jews, in our history, our Christian heritage. Jacob became a pretty big, important guy. And yet, man, when I think about what he did to his dad and to his brother, and he lied and tricked them, that's just wrong. And so he was a liar. Joseph was abused by his family. See, sometimes the dirt in our past that we use filters for, we're talking about filters, sometimes the dirt in our past isn't stuff that we've done to ourselves, but sometimes stuff that has been done to us. Right? There's those things. I've met people that have been through abuse or something like that they had no part in putting onto themselves, but they just suffered this abuse from someone else, and it causes them to place a filter over them. Well, God can't use me because I have a sketchy past, or I've been polluted, you know, that type of mentality. So I want us to get past that. And it may be a process, but let's do that. Remember, I talked about Moses stuttered. Gideon, one of my favorite warriors in the Bible, actually began when his first start started out. He was afraid. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Listen, I've also heard different people. Well, I've had an addiction with drugs, or I've had addiction with pornography, and I'm like, well, dude, David was pretty evil too. Look what David did. David had sexual relations with a married woman after he'd been spying on her, and then tried to cover it up by having her husband killed, a guy in his own army. So he was a rotten feller too there for a while, right? Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab wasn't born Jewish, but she was later married into a prominent Jewish family and actually became listed specifically in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It makes a lot of people feel uncomfortable to see flaws in Jesus' lineage. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Elijah was suicidal. He prayed, God, go ahead and take my life. He was afraid because the queen was coming after him to kill him. So he's like, let's just skip that part. God, you take my life. Just get it over with. He was suicidal. Jonah literally ran from God. And later, actually, he prayed a prayer of suicide too. He said, take me now. If you're going to save people like that, take me now. Take me now, Lord. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Paul, who wrote the most books of the New Testament, actually used to persecute Christians. He was involved in the torture, the capture, and imprisonment, and sometimes even death of Christians. So as we read about these great characters of our history and how they overcome the dirt in their past to be able to do great things for God, God used all of these guys mightily, especially when they were able to see themselves as God sees them. When they began to see their identity as how God sees them, then they began to live according to how God sees them. It was easier for them to live like the way God needed for them to live because they could actually see the potential. And here's the deal, church. I believe that it is time that we begin to see ourselves in that same light. How does God see you? You're a child of God. We sang about that. We're no longer slaves. God doesn't see you as a slave. He sees you as free. God sees you as his own, his son or his daughter. We are children of the Most High God. The things that come with that, the character that comes with that, the mind that comes with that, we need to begin to embrace and live up to those standards, amen? We need to take Jesus' example, because I believe this is the key I talked about last week. Make a habit of spending time with God. Learn from Martha. Jesus said she chose the good part when she chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. For unlocking our spiritual potential, I believe this is key, spending time with God. So I asked this question last week. I said, what does my spiritual potential have to do with my daily life? Like, what's realistically, what does it look like? What do I do? It's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. Well, let's get a good idea of what spiritual potential is. Now, in David's case, we talked a little bit about this. David had no filters on, no limits. It's like, whatever you want to do, God, let's do that. A physical result due to a spiritual relationship. That was his spiritual potential was unlimited because he had a spiritual relationship and it resulted in a physical change. David's victory was illogical and it was unnatural, but yet it happened because it happened first spiritually. God loves doing the illogical and supernatural things, right? Think about that. Lives are changed when they encounter this supernatural move of God. Jesus did it all the time. And I talked about that last week, but here's something new. Jesus did it all the time. And then Jesus said, you can do this too. Not only can you do this, but he actually says, you will do this. John 14:12. Let's start there. John 14:12. Jesus says this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Now he goes to the Father because he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, right? John 16:7. He says this, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, or the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. Greater works shall you do. Now, when we get the Holy Spirit inside of us as Christians, our spiritual potential just skyrockets. It's beyond anything that we can imagine. Whatever God wants to do, if we will allow him to work in that direction. Spiritual potential is greater than physical potential, obviously, because spiritual laws supersedes physical laws. Now, I know I say that a lot, but that's hard, I think, for us to kind of wrap our heads around. Think about this. The spiritual laws that we have in the Word of God supersedes. It's higher than any physical laws, like the laws of physics, even. The natural laws in our world. Just like Jesus walking on water. Jesus picking up people that have never walked in their lives and saying, take up your bed and walk. Jesus healing blind people. Calming the storm. Jesus loved, I think, breaking the laws of nature. These acts in the spiritual world impacts your physical world. That's the point we're getting to. Believing, realizing, and acting in your spiritual potential changes your physical world and those around you. Right? It's exciting, right? But it's heavy a little bit because it's a responsibility. Now you know you're responsible for it. Ha ha on you all. No, not really. But it is something I think that we need to think about and realize. Ephesians 3:20-21. Paul says this, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to what? I love this. How can God do all of these things beyond I can even imagine according to the power that's in us? He doesn't even say the power that God has. He says God's able to do all this through the power that's in you. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I believe it's time that we need to rise up. And I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. As a church, we've heard these words lately. We need to rise up. Well, we do need to rise up, but we don't need, that doesn't mean storming the Capitol or arming ourselves or anything like that. Not that any of the, having guns is bad, but I'm saying the church needs to spiritually rise up. It's time that we begin to put as much effort and time and money in the Word of God and our spiritual relationship with God than we do anything else, including ammunition and guns. By the way, I like shooting guns. I've got no problem with that. Own all the guns you want. But that's not what's ultimately going to change your situation. If anything, it would make it a whole lot worse if you have to go to that point. But my point is strictly this. Even in the Old Testament, God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray, that's a spiritual action for a physical reaction. It's a spiritual direction to have an impact in your physical life. It's time the church rise up and see their spiritual potential. Who are you? What is your identity in Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Because here's the thing. I believe this too. I think the greatest tool of our enemy is to keep the church ignorant of their capabilities. To keep the church short of your potential. And when we get a glimpse of how powerful we can be as Christians, if we'll just spend some quality time with God, I think it's going to change not only your life, it may change the world. We cannot sell God short in what God can do. We can't sell God short of what he can do through you even. Let's read this. 1 Samuel 17. I want to go to David again and look at this example. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 37. All right. How's everybody doing? You having a good Sunday so far? Okay. All right. All right. I love it. David said, and this is when David's about to go and face the giant Goliath. David says this, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. So he's saying, listen, I've seen God do some really great things through me, and I know that he can do it again. I've seen God do great things, so I know he can do it again. Saul says this, we'll read on. He said this to David, go and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. Now look at the difference here. David says, I know what God can do because I've seen him do it before. Paul says, yes, that's great. Go with God, however, it's probably going to work best if you do it my way. It only makes sense that you would go off into battle with a sword and with armor. Here, I'll give you mine. Saul doesn't realize he's doing it. He's just acting out of logic. Yes, God can help you do that. That's going to be great. Let's let God go with him. I'll pray for you. But let's use my armor because that only makes sense, right? I'm praying for God's will, but it'll probably happen with these physical tools that I have. It makes more sense to fight a giant with a sword and shields. Verse 39, David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. David said, I cannot walk in this armor. I haven't tested this armor. But like I said, I can tell you what I have walked in. I can tell you what I have tested. I can tell you that when I'm walking with God's armor, with God's weapons, with the power of the Holy Spirit inside of me. I can tell you what I've seen God do, and I can tell you what I believe God can do next. He said, the other stuff, I haven't walked in that stuff, but this stuff, the Spirit of God, I've walked in that, and I know that that works. I know that when I'm walking that way, God is able to do more than I can even imagine. That's in the Bible. And see, I'm a pretty big dreamer. I dream big, crazy stuff. And I read the scripture, and this week I'm praying about it. And I said, well, okay, God, but you know I'm a dreamer. You ought to, you know, watch out, because if you're going to get bigger than I can dream. And God was like, boy, I know, you're right. Great, illogical, supernatural things are in store for you when you remove the filters from your life and get to know God in a very personal way. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are or what you've done or what you're doing, your current career. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. God can use you where you are in such a way that it may change people's eternities around you. I know him, I love him, and he loves me and knows me. There is a power and an authority in that relationship that will blow your mind. Amen? And that's what we're called to do. Not only change our world, but we get to change the world of people around us, and not just change their lives, but he changed their eternities. Do you believe in Jesus? Jesus said something about you. If you believe in Jesus, Jesus said something about you. In John 14:12, he said, if you believe in me, the works that he did, you can do. And not only that, greater works. Actually, he says, the works that I do, you will do also. Greater works than these will you do, because I go to the Father. If you believe in Jesus, you're actually responsible for great works. Now, don't let this scare you, but at the same time, don't dismiss it as, well, you know, that's for the super Christians or the super spirituals. As a Christian, it's a fact of our life that we are to do the acts that Jesus did and even greater. That's what the Bible says. I don't know how to interpret it any easier to stomach than that, right? But Lord, my nose runs sometimes all the time. And you may say, well, I don't even know how is that even possible? I don't believe that's possible. Gideon didn't think that either. Moses didn't think that either. Do not underestimate the power that is on inside of you. Number one, to wash you clean of your past completely. And also, number two, accomplish great things in your future. Your spiritual potential can change your life and your circumstance. So, let's ask this question. Realistically, what do we do? Where do I start? I'm on board, Jeff. I get it. There's great things in store. Supernatural things can happen through me. What do I do? How am I going to do the things even greater than what Jesus did? And there's different ways, but I want to say this. That we know of, Jesus was never able or had the opportunity to preach to 50, 100,000 people, or even a million people. That we know of. We have that capability today. Daniel Kalinda does that and is in Africa, I think, right now doing that this weekend. Reinhard Bunke has done that and some others. Billy Graham has done that. Well, I'm not one of those guys. I probably won't get to speak to that many people. Number one, don't limit God. And number two, it's okay if you're not that type of person that speak to a million people. Are you the type of person that you can help facilitate that event or that mission? That we know of, Jesus never personally or physically was able to preach to all peoples in all languages all over the world. Is there a way that I can facilitate that event to happen? Jesus didn't do it when he was here, but he sent his church to do it, and we can make that happen. Greater works than these shall you do. Don't diminish the fact that Jesus wants you to do bigger stuff than he did. It's weird to say, isn't it? Think about it. It's kind of weird to say. But there's things that Jesus expects us to do as a Christian church, and one of them is to get the gospel out to all over the world, and we can do that, and we're doing that, and we're sending money to the Pioneer Bible Translators, who's translating the Bible for the very first time in Vanuatu. As a matter of fact, on this note, this year I'm making March Missions March, and we're going to go through March. We're actually going to start next weekend, the 28th, before March, but that's when I could get Casey George here, who is our missionary to India. But we're going to focus on some of the things that we've been talking about and preaching about and focused on, and that is getting this gospel to the world. One of our goals, my goals this year, my prayer is I want to grow my relationship with God, and I want to influence others to do the same. And I think that's one of the important parts of a church, is that we make sure that we get this gospel to the world. We don't know how much longer we have. And the closer I get with God, the closer I get with his people, and the more I want to see more souls meet me in heaven. Now, I may not be the one to go and preach to a million people in Africa, but I can help that happen. I can facilitate that. And when I give into those missions, I now take part and responsibility for the lives that are impacted in that mission. Amen? Do you realize that? We give to and sponsor a little boy in an orphanage in Uganda. In Uganda, sorry. We sponsor a little boy in Uganda in a Christian orphanage. Now the lives, not only do we touch his life, but the lives that he touches for God, we have a part in that as well. We can do great things and even greater things than Jesus did. And so each Sunday in March, we're going to focus on a mission and kind of let you know where we as a church are standing on missions and the missionaries that we support, because I want that to be a focus. It's very important that we don't keep our Christianity within these walls, because if we're doing that, we're playing church until we make it to heaven, and that's not what Jesus had in mind for his church. Amen? All right. I like that. Now, there's a lot of other ways that financially that we can do great things like Jesus did. Financially is just a small part of it. I believe that a key factor in reaching the potential that we have is, like I said, spending some quality time with God. Because the great things that God has for you to do will look a lot different than the great things that God has for me to do. Okay? So it's, I can't say, well, here's the next step. Here's what you do next. But I firmly believe the next step is maturing ourselves spiritually. And in order to do that, we have to spend time with God. Spend time, quality time, talking to him and reading his word. It's important to realize that our relationship and our spiritual journey is a growing one. constantly developing because of our actions and our focus, okay? You got that? Now, it may be that salvation was an instantaneous thing, a one-time event, but your Christianity is not a one-time event. Your Christianity and your relationship should be a daily growing thing. Knowledge of God leads to spiritual maturity, which leads to spiritual potential. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual man, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it." Now, we're just building the fact that maturity levels are a factor in our Christian journey, in our relationship. Hebrews 10:25, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Philippians 3:13 through 15. Paul says, "I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." These passages and many others like it help us to realize that Christianity is not a one-time event. Our Christianity is a growing process. There's a maturity level. And if we are to mature, we need to spend quality time with God. We need to know God. I read this a couple weeks ago, John 17:3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That they may know you. The JFB commentary said this, and I wanted to quote that. "This life eternal, then, is not mere conscious and unending existence, but a life of acquaintance with God and Christ." Know God. And I come across this scripture in Exodus 33:13. Abraham prayed this at one point. He said, "Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." Now, side note, I love that last line. He's like, remember God, these are your people. Because the Israelites were messing up, you know, and they were, God and Moses both were a little disgusted with them, remember? Yeah. Okay. It was funny in here. But Moses wanted to know God. The Hebrew word translated there to know is the word yada, Y-A-D-A. It's to ascertain by seeing, to perceive and see, to know by experience. Sometimes this word was used to portray someone that is skillful at something, like a musical instrument. I know how to play the fiddle. I know the fiddle. Like that's something that I've done for years. I've done it long enough to be much better, but still, I know the fiddle. I'm more than have an acquaintance with it. I have a complete perception and understanding. It's the same word, yada, that's written about Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:7, when Adam and Eve had sinned, and when they realized they had sinned, and they realized that they were naked. Genesis 3:7, they knew they were naked. Knew is that same word, yada. No, there was a knowing, a complete knowing that they were naked. And Adam was like, yada. Sorry. I had to do it. And then even the word when Adam knew his wife and she conceived, that no is also yada. It's a complete, it's like a connection and a union. Now let's go back to the New Testament, John 17:3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you." This word know is the same word in yada in Hebrew, but in Greek it's ginosko. This is eternal life, that they may know you, or ginosko you. It is basically the same definition, to understand completely, and to know in the sense of realizing. There seems to be a definitiveness that goes along with this word, completeness and understanding. It frequently indicates a relationship and a connection or union. To know God. Here's another verse I want you to read with me. Matthew 7:21-23. Now listen to this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons? In your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Gnosko. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It is vital that we realize when the Bible's talking about knowing God, eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ. That know, that gnosko, is a complete revelation and perception of him. That's not an acquaintance that we wave at somebody as we're driving by their house. That's going over there and really knowing them on a very intimate level. And I love this. Proverbs 3:6. We've probably all heard this scripture as well. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge. In Hebrew, that's the same word. Know. In all your ways, know God. And he will make your path straight. So these three things that I get from this teaching that God's had me on. Number one, we have to spend time with our Father God. We have to prioritize good quality time with our Father God. And I don't mean 10:30 to 12 on Sundays, but like on a daily basis, it needs to be part of our life. Amen. Know him personally. Nurture that relationship. Number two, realize and remove all the filters that you have in your life or in your prayers that limit what God can do through you. Don't be limited by anything, anybody, especially your past. Please let God completely get rid of your past. He wants to, because he has a new identity for you. Number three, be aware of all the opportunities that you have in your everyday life to live up to your spiritual potential. One of the guys, I mentioned Daniel Kalinda, and I want to share this real quick with you. Daniel Kalinda is one of the guys that goes to Africa and literally preaches hundreds of thousands and a few times a million people. His right-hand man, I think, is in his 80s. And you would think that someone of that age would be like, yeah, well, I've done my time. And here's a guy that travels right next to him and does everything that he does. It is never too late. Your past doesn't matter. Your age doesn't matter. God can do crazy cool things with you. And I bet that he's got some crazy cool things in mind for you. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Will you stand with me, please? I pray that this teaching makes you want to find out more about your spiritual potential and what you can do. It makes you want to completely... Do never let your past get in the way of what God wants you to do. Forget about it. I'm not saying it's okay to live in unrighteousness. It's not. Make it your past, but get over it. We've got to move on. And the past is going to keep us tied down. Never let filters enter your life to keep you from doing what God wants to do. And I pray that we begin to operate in our daily lives in the supernatural. Have you ever prayed that in the morning? God, today as I go through my life, help me to operate in the supernatural. I want to see something supernatural happen in my life today. You might get God all fired up and excited about your day and your life. But that is going to take some spiritual maturity, the kind that only comes from prioritizing and spending quality time with your Father God. Draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. Will you bow your heads with me?